country and tell kids I'm standing in the presence of greatness. And then I always have that 12 or 13-year-old boy that's in the front row looking at me like, dude, I'm awesome. I'm like, no, you're not. You can't even legally drive yet. But in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, that young person, boy or girl, might be my future beaker bumper. And if you don't know what a beaker bumper is, that's an individual who someday accidentally messing around in a classroom spills a bunch of beaker stuff together that was never supposed to be mixed, and whammo, that little guy or lady cures cancer. Tomorrow night, I'll be up near Camp Fitch speaking, and I'll show, and they're not here now, but I'll show about 15, 20 different products, post-it notes, tires, the x-ray machine, microwave oven, and when they're finished, I ask, what do they all have in common? And the kids are like, they're all accidents. Every one of those was a mistake, never intended to be invented, and yet, obviously, they were. My hope is that someday a young person will do something great, such as possibly preach one of the greatest messages ever that stirs the people that are in their presence, and we can see revival begin. You do know we need revival in this country, amen? Yeah, apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing, and we need him. So let's pray this morning. I was told I have until 12:30, so I'm looking forward to our time together. Thank you again, Diane, for that extra time. And Pastor Fred, if you're listening, I'm kidding. So let's pray. Father, thank you in Jesus' name for your Holy Spirit. As this church will begin a study in Acts, I pray that your Holy Spirit would begin to show them just how amazing you are in such a gift, such a wonderful teacher, such a wonderful helper. Thank you, Jesus, that as you were preparing to ascend, that you instructed the disciples to not be discouraged, but to be encouraged. And I pray this morning that our time together can do the same. Thank you for this moment, and we ask, God, that your Holy Spirit would give us teachable hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. How many are Chuck Swindoll fans? Any insight for living friends out there? Okay, great. So I've never been to Bible school, but I've sat under some wonderful teachers, and Chuck Swindoll is at the top of my list. He does something very interesting when he preaches. Do any of you know what that is when he first starts? Oh, goody. You're going to get to find out right now. He says, out of respect for God's word, let's stand. We're going to read Exodus chapter 12. For those of you who are not Old Testament people, the title of my message this morning is, Will You Be Passed Over? So if you have a Bible, please open to chapter 12. If you don't, I believe you can read it behind me. Now I'm going to read from the New American Standard because we found out, other than King James, this is the version Jesus likes. Amen? Perhaps not, but we're going to read chapter 12, verses 22 and 23. And then 28 through 30. For the Lord will pass through, we're going to go 22. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin, and apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel and the two doorposts. And none of you shall go outside the door of this house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. Who will pass through? The Lord. The Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And now we'll read 28 through 30. Then the sons of Israel went and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, and so they did. Now it came about at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. Pharaoh arose in the night, he and all of his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was no home where there was not someone dead. You may be seated. So I don't get to do this very often, and I'm grateful for the chance to speak on God's word. If I mention spiritual things when I'm in a school, I usually get a stare off from the distance of an administrator that says, stop doing that. So in order for me to get invited back, I try to play by the rules. As some of you know, I'm a risk taker, so sometimes I dance close to the line. But this morning, there's no dancing. It's a straightforward message, and that's this. Will you be passed over? How many understand the Passover and what happened? So for those of you who don't, very simply explain based on what we just read, we know that the Lord said, in order for the spirit of death to pass by, there needs to be what where? Yes, this is interactive. Go ahead and tell me. There has to be blood on the doorpost and lintel. And when I read that, and I've read it many times, what struck me this morning was, I'm going to speak in a church that's predominantly Christians. Or at least you say you are. There's a reason why the name of my ministry is Talk is Cheap. I used to be in sales for many years. I sold copiers for a living. And in fact, I'm so old, I actually started by selling typewriters. So that tells you, back in 1984, I thought daisy wheel typewriters were going to be the hottest thing ever. But I found out within a year of being in sales that most good salespeople exaggerate the truth. Have any of you had that experience by a salesperson who promised you everything and delivered virtually nothing? So I decided, because I was a Christian, to keep my word. There's a crazy thought. Just keep my word. And I did. For 16 years, I worked in Lawrence and Mercer County, Pennsylvania, and I sold Toshiba, Konica, Sharp, Brother typewriters, Ricoh facsimiles, and I did very well. Until God said, I want you to leave now and go into full-time ministry. Have any of you had that nudging in your life? Because if you had a secular job where you're making decent money and God says quit, my respectful answer was what? No, thank you, sir. And may I tell you that if I take you back to 1999 in my prayer journal, and Mr. Kochenauer was really interesting, as you're a part of that, your business. I was trying desperately to ignore God's voice and do what I want. In 1999, if I were to bring my prayer journal in today and show you, it's over 700 pages now long, I would show you my entrance in August of 1999 where I said to God, I don't understand it. I'm working with a Christian business, Kogan Industries at the time, and I can't even get them to buy from me. Now, you might say, wow, you threw me under the bus. No, sir. Somebody had a better price, a better service opportunity. I don't know. But I do know it wasn't you. It was God saying no. And if you read my journal throughout that year of 1999, I'm sure some of you would be like, wow, you had to be really discouraged, very discouraged. In August of that year, 99, same month that I was trying to sell copiers to people who I really thought would buy from me and did not, I quit my job. Anybody here ever done Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby? No? Oh, you should. It'll wreck your life. It will make you have to reassess everything you think about and believe. In Experiencing God, one of the principles was a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. And what I knew that meant was that I was supposed to quit my job without having one. Now, that would make perfect sense if I was a single guy, or maybe even just married. But I had two little ones, and I was, quote, the provider. Who's the real provider? Yeah, but not me. I'm thinking, I got to sell copiers, I got to sell typewriters and fax, I got to make money, and I can't quit. And in August, late August of 99, I quit my job. 2 weeks later, unbeknownst to me, I was in Chicago at a leadership conference that I couldn't afford to go to, so someone paid my way. And on that trip, I got introduced to John C. Maxwell, Lee Strobel, Bill Hybels, and a bunch of who's who's that I'd never heard of before. And God began to open my world. In order for us to get uncomfortable, we have to leave where we're comfortable. Amen? The reason for the title this morning is because when that spirit came through any doorpost that did not have blood on it, what happened inside that home? Someone died. Here's what's interesting in all my travels and speaking. I meet a lot of Christians who I hear them say, well, I hope I'll go to heaven. And I'm like, what kind of an answer is that? If Jack Nichols asks me, David, do you love your wife Susan? And I say, yeah. Jack has every right to go, that is not the way you're supposed to answer that. It's supposed to be, heck yeah, loved her ever since the day I met her in Borman High School as juniors. That's the correct answer. And if you ask me, David, are you sure when you die you'll go to heaven? The answer is absolutely. Not because I deserve it, but because it was a free gift. Because Christ has painted my heart with his blood, my soul with his blood. When I quit my job and 2 weeks later got hired by Fellowship of Christian Athletes, I had no idea what FCA even was. And when they told me, well, it's an athletic ministry that works primarily with coaches and athletes and all whom they influence, I thought, this is horrible. The only foosball prowess I have is that sport, and now they're telling me I'm going to go talk to kids that run track, kids that play football, baseball. And my boss, Bob Stauffer at the time, said, David, it's not about you. It's about these kids. Here's my challenge this morning. As we read the Old Testament, so many poo-poo it and say, well, that's all been fulfilled. We're in the New Testament now. You're missing out. You're missing out on the absolute amazingness of the fact that what God has done then, he is doing now, and he wants to use you to do it. When I started speaking in schools and looking at the eyes of those kids, I realized something. I wasn't just ministering to kids with hope. I was ministering to adults. I show a video which will not be presented today on forgiveness. First time I showed it in the school, I'm expecting the kids to be very impacted. And yet I noticed the adults who were lining the room as chaperones, some were weeping. And I had to take a stop for a second and pause and realize they haven't come to terms with something in the forgiveness area. I'm 58 years old. I got to marry my high school sweetheart. We have two children together. Now they're married, and we have a grandchild, and soon one more coming. And I can tell you, as I said this morning, while talking to some of you out here waiting for service to start, I am so thankful to God that my children, my son-in-law and daughter-in-law, and hopefully someday when Willow's old enough, they have personal relationships with Jesus Christ. The reason I gave the title, Will You Be Passed Over?, is because you are going to die. And everybody's like, dude, that's kind of morbid. That's not fun. We're supposed to be encouraged and feel rah-rah when we leave this place. No, no, you need to feel rah-rah when you leave this place and challenged to not waste the time God's given you. The reason I know that, it's in my book. Death is coming. Question is, will you be born once and die twice, or will you be born twice and die once? I could really embarrass some of you and say, explain that to me. And you'd be like, it doesn't even make any sense. So I'll explain it this way. How many grew up Catholic? What do we do as a Catholic? We come to church, we go in the back, we dip the water, we bless ourselves, we quietly come, we sit down, and I won't bother you and you won't bother me. Amen? And the only time we have to do anything is when the priest stands up, or when the priest sits down, or when the priest kneels, or when the priest sits, or when the priest stands up. And then there's one interactive moment. What's that? Peace be with you. And they've changed that now, and also with you. And then we kind of go, I don't really want to say that to all those other people, so I'm going back to my quiet, happy place. And then, if you're a good Roman Catholic, you go to confession before you go to Mass, because you can't partake until you get it right. And then at church, you go to communion. And are you allowed to leave before the priest leaves? Come on, good old faithful Catholics, tell me. Heck no! So, remember the guy speaking this morning was 18 years old, and his mother said, you can go to Mass by yourself, but I want you to bring home a church bulletin to prove that you went. And I'm like, no problem. So I won't say, since I might be on some type of audio recording device and my mom might hear this, I won't say what I did, but I first went to St. Charles, I got the bulletin, and then I hopped back in the Pacer. We had an AMC Pacer. Tried doing bad things in a Pacer. And I drove to Mill Creek Park and I did bad things in the Pacer, which I won't explain. And then I came home feeling rather happy. And mom goes, how was Mass? And I said, awesome, here's the bulletin. Was my heart right, yes or no? Come on, you guys. In less than a half an hour, we're going to be out of here. Let me ask it again. Was my heart right, yes or no? Absolutely not. So, why am I grateful for the Passover lamb? Well, it's a part of the Catholic Mass. Behold, the Lamb of... Come on, say the whole thing. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the... Who are we talking about, boys and girls? Jesus Christ. See, for the 4 years I was in full-time paid ministry, I was in schools, so the predominant message had to be very genuinely generic. I don't have to be genuinely generic here this morning. I can be very candid when I say this to you. If you don't put your faith in Jesus Christ, and if Jesus Christ doesn't know you, the Bible says he'll look you in the eye someday and say, I never knew you. And you can say, well, I went to church every week. In fact, as a good old Baptist, we went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and we went to youth group, then we went to Bible study, and then we had small group. We went to everything. And Jesus will look me right in the eye and say, I never knew you. The Passover blood protected those people inside the house. The angel passing through didn't stop, knock, and say, who's in there and what have you done right or wrong? All it looked for was the blood. Am I making sense this morning? Because we're at church to be fed so that we can go out and tell other people the good news. And I think some of you may have not been doing that much lately. In fact, if I were just to put the mic out there and say, okay, tell me the last time you got to share Jesus, some of you'd be like, well, my ministry is intercessory prayer. I just pray for people. And that's legit. But there will be a time that you may have to put some feet to your prayers when they say, so I've really sensed when I'm around you that you care about me. I pray for you all the time. Great, why? And you better be prepared to give an answer. Because I care about your soul. And you may not get all that, because I didn't either. But if you'll simply pray this prayer, God help me, change my heart, change my mind, help me to see you for who you are. I promise you, if you pray that prayer, God will do his part. And if they look at you and go, I do believe that. That's it, kids. They don't have to join nothing. They don't have to give nothing. They don't even have to do anything. How do I know that's true? Because we have two men hanging with Jesus on his last day. And one says, if you're the Christ, come down off the cross and take us with you. What's the second thief say? Do you not even fear God? For we justly hang here, but this man has done nothing. And then that thief looks to Jesus and says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I love Jesus' response. Where do you go to church? Do you speak in tongues? Hallelujah. Have you been to communion? Confession. Have you even been to church lately? Or as Ernest Angsley used to say, do you smoke? You should see you looking at me like, is there anything you won't pick on? Nope. Not when it's not of Christ. Because I don't have time to screw around. I'm 58 years old and I'm on the back nine of my life. Mr. Kochenauer and I were talking earlier. His bride graduated last year. Sounds nice, doesn't it? He misses the most important person on this earth. And no one's going to fill that hole, sir, and you know it. And I'm terrified to think someday I'm going to be facing the same thing if I should outlive my bride. Until that day that one of us leaves, I'm going to continue to be intentional about telling people God loves you just the way you are, but too much to leave you that way. When I quit my job in 99 and I took that job 2 weeks later with FCA, I had no idea where it would take me. But as I stand before you this morning, I can assure you of this. No matter what you think God wants to do, it's probably not that. Amen? I had a teen center. I was very interactive with this church back then. The Pomas were a part of this church. That teen center was down at their building, and it worked for 11 months. And I thought, this thing's going to go on forever because it's the most awesome, safe place in the world for kids. And then the fire marshal came. and said, this is a fancy schmancy building, but unless you put one of these bad boys in called a water system, you have to shut it down. And we're like, we already got approval to do it. They said, nope. And we didn't have $35,000, and we shut the teen center down. And I'll never forget, and the next time you go, where am I? That's the side, that's east, yes? The next time you go, oh yes, right, west. When you go west down McClurg, and you look to the left and see the old AFG buildings, and you look at the big property behind it, I'll never forget being in the field at 4 o'clock in the morning on my knees weeping, telling God, not asking, telling God, please don't close this teen center. Please don't take this away from me. Please don't take Sue. Please don't take Courtney or David. Please don't take my health. Be careful what you tell God. So if you hadn't taken that teen center, I'd have never started Talk Is Cheap. I wouldn't have seen almost 800,000 kids in 7 countries. I wouldn't have the letters we get and the emails and messages we get from kids who say, I was in my room with the door locked. I was prepared to slit my wrist the right way. And I saw the pebble up on my dresser that you gave me. And I remembered, I'm not an accident, I'm not a mistake, there's a purpose for my life, and I can't quit. Thank you, Mr. Cahoot, for saving my life. And I always read that line and I go, they don't have a clue, folks. Cahoot did nothing. Just a dumb donkey who opened his mouth, and that kid listened. When we finish this morning, my prayer for you is 2 things. One, that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And if I ask you, are you sure if you died today you'd go to heaven, you'd just smile with your eyes before you even begin to say, absolutely, great. Second thing, pray for our ministry. Talk Is Cheap. Notice I didn't ask for money. I won't. We don't need your money. God will take care of that. I need your prayers. Our country is as broken as it's ever been in the history of our nation. True or false? And the only thing that's going to fix it is Jesus Christ. And by the way, we're not the chosen people. This is not Israel. So there's no promises here. Except all things work together for good to those who love us and are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. Amen? So let's finish up the message because I want you to know something. When we refer to Jesus as the Lamb of God, I don't know if you already put the verse up and I might have missed it, Dan. First Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It says it best, I'll read it from their translation. Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch, as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. One time. No more sacrifices. And Jesus said to the thief, this day you will be with me in paradise. And the thief did nothing. Don't ever forget that. It's not what you do. It's what he did. Amen? I do Catholic men retreats with my brother Jeff. We do them at St. Christine's. Father Keener was our priest at the time. They've since changed priests, and they haven't done it because of COVID. But I'll have people say, Cahoot, are you Catholic? I'm like, no. Well, then why are you at a men's retreat for the Catholic Church? Because you don't have one. Hello? Crickets. So I go there, and I celebrate Jesus all day Saturday and half a Sunday, and then we go to Mass. And I'm not into some of that stuff, just like I might not be into some of the stuff for the Nazarene Church if I studied it enough. If you do find a perfect church, please don't join it because you will mess it up. Amen? But I go, and I support the guys I invite. And when I invite my friends, whether they're Catholic or Protestant, they're like, so you're really into this, huh? Nope, I'm into him. And if this is the closest way I can get to him, then I'll do this. Are you willing to trade off some of your convictions in your religious beliefs to make someone else more comfortable as they grow in theirs? Diane's like, I invited him because I thought he'd be funny. I am hilarious. Every time I get out of the shower, I die laughing. I'm like, what happened? I can feed children now. This isn't even cool. There's a visual for you. Look at me. This body's dying. Clearly, saddest sound I ever heard is right there. But you know what? I don't care. I care about standing before Jesus Christ one day, and he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And if we're allowed to talk, I'm going to say, you know I wasn't good, and you know I wasn't faithful. But you were. The Passover lamb has been sacrificed, and he now sits at the right hand of the Father. The next time you have a religious conversation with someone who knows the Old Testament well, simply ask them this. You believe in the sacrifice and the high priest and all that stuff still? Oh, yeah. Well, then explain the veil to me, please. What veil? Well, you got to know about the veil. You know everything else. You know, in the Holy of Holies, you can only go in once a year. You got to have one guy go in. He's got to have bells and tassels on because if he gets killed by God, we have to pull him out with a rope. Oh, yeah, that one. Where's the veil? Other than Mr. Kochenauer, does anybody in this room even know that answer? Hey, is that a news report? I'm just kidding you. The veil's how thick? Very. How tall? Very. And it's what? It's gone. The Bible says that when Jesus died, the veil tore. Oh, specifically from top to bottom. Is that important? Absolutely. Because you know what? It takes away all the argument that men may have done it. You know, just like when they went looking for the body and said, you better go find it because I knew somebody tried to steal Jesus and say he never died. Did Jesus die? Yes. Did he rise again? Just like he said he would. Almost finished. Let's go to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. You don't have to keep standing, by the way. I did that once in a church, and I didn't notice people kept standing just at the beginning. So I would like you to read that to yourselves, please. Talk is cheap as a 501c3. We're a not-for-profit. We get donations from people who help us do things, such as, one, I always wear my Christian bling bling when I speak in schools. Two, I always wear my bracelet. SIPPOG, when you leave today, there's a black Acura out there with a license plate that says SIPPOG. Standing or sitting in the presence of greatness. And the kids are like, yeah, I am awesome. I'm like, little man or lady, if you think you're awesome now, wait until you put all the pieces together. The other piece of bling bling I wear is my WWJD bracelet. Remember when y'all had one of those? Oh, yes, it's still in the drawer. Why aren't you wearing it? Well, it's time to break out Charles Sheldon's book again, isn't it? He should see your face like, how much longer do I have to take this abuse? It's not. It's called encouragement. As Jesus said, you've lost your first love. Me too at times. Am I allowed to confess that as the speaker this morning? There's times I've gotten very comfortable with Jesus, and in fact, I know I should have my quiet time, and I go, hey man, you stay right there. I'll be back later. I'm in a hurry this morning. And do I ever get back to him, truthfully? Probably not. I wear the two bracelets, and the one that was donated is from our board and our donors, and I leave a SIPPOG bracelet with every kid. I will hand out 90 bracelets tomorrow. I only need one kid to believe it. The reason this verse is so important is because we also have a book, and I don't have them, so I'm not selling books this morning. But we bring the books to the camps. We bring the books to the schools. We sign two and leave it in every school we speak in. The title of the book, Standing in the Presence of Greatness. I'm a simple man. It has to be simple for me. However, when I sign the book, I tell them, never forget SIPPOG. And then I underline each letter in the title inside the book, Standing in the Presence of Greatness. And then I write that verse. Why? Because many years ago, Zig Ziglar signed my book from him. And he wrote, Romans 10:9-10. And I'm like, I bet you it's a salvation verse. And I hurried and I looked it up and it said, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth confession, resulting in salvation. Chuck McGowan asked me this question years ago as my mentor. Saved from what, David? And I'm like, hell? No. I'm like, what else could you possibly be saved from? And he said, tell me. I'm like, well, you know, Chuck, we could play this for like 2 minutes, but I'm pretty sure I don't have the right answer. What is it? And he said, you're saved from the judgment of your sin. And I'm like, what? You're saved from the judgment of your sin, David. You deserve to go to hell. So do I, he said. But because of Jesus Christ, just like the Passover lamb's blood on the doorpost, it's going to pass by. Does that make sense this morning? We have one more verse. And the reason we have one more verse is because if you are a believer, then you have a responsibility to Jesus, not to me, but maybe to me. Let's go to, if you have it up on the wall, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Now, I'm going to show a video in a minute or three, as soon as I give Dan the heads up. That's how we're going to close this morning. How many know who the skit guys are? Do you people get out at all, ever? Okay? So the skit guys, he's like, I resemble that remark. Yes, sir, I know. These two guys are comedians in the Christian world, so they're actually funny without being vulgar and all the other junk that comes along with some of these guys and ladies who think they're so funny. The skit guys do skits, and this is one of their most popular skits. We're not going to show it yet because we're going to read the verse first. But the skit is called God's Chisel. And the verse that he's going to start off with is what we're going to close with. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. As I close this morning, there's only two people in this room. There's the believer, and there's the unbeliever. I can't do anything about that for you. You can come up afterwards. We could pray for you. We could lay hands on you. We could cast stuff out. But until God touches your heart, all I'm going to do is stand here and speak words. Now, I'm going to be honest this morning and ask a question that's going to make you uncomfortable because it's a small group. It's not like you can really hide. Have you been playing church or are you doing it? What's the difference? Anybody can show up for an hour, hour and a half, and get a free cup of coffee. And did you say you're going to go get donuts this morning, Diane? Let's thank Diane in advance for the donuts that she's not really getting because I'm making that part up. You look at her mother's face like, she didn't tell me about the donuts. There's two people in this room this morning, those who are serious about their relationship and growing, and most likely those of you who've come to know Christ and have stopped growing. Why? Let me answer for myself when I get stagnant. I'm comfortable, kind of fat and happy, or, let's be blunt, I'm mad at God. He took something I liked away, or someone. I stood in that back corner with my little camera and recorded Jim Palma's funeral as they rolled in his personally painted casket by his buddy. And as I looked at little Jonathan and their daughter, whose name's escaping me right now, come on, somebody help me. Ivy. Two little kids wondering why God did this to them. I had to tell both of those kids later, God didn't do anything to you guys. It was your dad's time to go home. It didn't make any sense to me either. But I didn't get bitter, I got better. If you're playing church this morning, my prayer for you is that God will break your heart and bring you back to that place where you realize it's not about you, it's all about Him. The chisel's an encouragement because if you're like me and you think, Kahoot, I'm just not good enough. I want you to remember this morning, you never will be. That's why Jesus said the famous three words, it is finished. Amen?